Welcome to Rolling Solo. I'm Francesca, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but that's the fun of it. Rolling Solo is my attempt to learn Dungeons & Dragons by playing alone. Well, me and my bard, Francesca, who you'll meet in a moment. And yes, she is named after me, but I promise I'm not completely self-obsessed. If you're new to D&D or just curious how one person can play an adventure by themselves, you are in the right place. So here's how this podcast is going to work. I'm brand new to Dungeons & Dragons. I don't have a party or a dungeon master. Instead, I'll be learning the game as I go, playing it solo with dice, rules, and a little bit of guidance from AI to keep the story moving. Each episode, you'll hear me make choices, roll dice, and figure out the rules in real time, sometimes fumbling, sometimes surprising myself, but always telling a story. And that story is about my character, Francesca, a tiefling bard whose life is filled with music, secrets, and danger. You'll hear me roleplay her journey, try out voices, and explore a world full of intrigue. Think of this as part actual play, part learning experience, and part storytelling performance. If you're new to D&D, you'll learn right alongside me. If you're already a fan, you'll hopefully enjoy watching me stumble, experiment, and grow as both a player and a storyteller. So, without further ado, let's meet Francesca Di Valcere. Francesca is a tiefling bard of the College of Law, a performer, storyteller, and, when the need arises, a thief. She has striking red skin, golden eyes, and long black hair often worn in braids. On stage, she dazzles crowds with music and charm, but off stage, she blends into the shadows, always watching, always listening. Born into the wealthy house Valcere, Francesca rejected her family's corruption and walked away from nobility to carve her own path. Now she uses her wit, her songs and her magic to bring joy to audiences and to humble the powerful who abuse their power. She keeps her true past hidden, carrying only a signet ring from her family as a reminder of what she left behind. She's radiant and charismatic before an audience, but off stage she's more shy and secretive. Francesca lives for stories, for freedom and for justice, though her pride and her restless spirit sometimes lead her into trouble. She is loved by few, hunted by others, and never truly owned by anyone. Francesca is a fourth level bard of the College of Law, which basically means she's quick-witted, well-read and always ready with a story or a song. She's built around dexterity and charisma, graceful on stage, persuasive in conversation, and slippery when she needs to disappear. You'll get used to words like dexterity and charisma because they are kind of like your skills, your foundations of what you will do to roll your dice and decide if you succeed or fail in certain actions. And as I said, my character is more about dexterity, charisma, intelligence, those kind of skills. In combat, she's really not the strongest fighter. Her rapier and daggers are more for flair than brute force, but her real power lies in words and magic. She can inspire with a song, mock enemies so sharply it rattles their focus, or weave illusions and fire to turn the tide. So, while she might not hit the hardest, Francesca always finds a way to steal the scene. So as I previously mentioned, I'm not actually going on this journey completely alone. As well as me and my bard, we've also got the assistance of some AI. And for that, I use ChatGTP. If you listen to the intro podcast, you'll know all about my relationship with that. And although I don't 100% believe in everything that AI is doing nowadays, I definitely sing its praises for acting as a dungeon master. So I was going to read to you what I typed in to get my AI ready to be my dungeon master. You are no longer a normal assistant. You are now my dungeon master for a brand new D&D based campaign of your choosing. Your only player is me. You will be my dungeon master. You should tell me what to do, including when my die rolls are needed. Ask me questions when needed, for example, who my character is and what are the results of my rolls. Other than what you can't do, I will do for you. You will act fully as the DM and run the game. More instructions and information to follow. So, the main bit of that instruction and information to follow was me uploading documents that I've created, telling it all about my character, and any kind of information about how D&D might work, so that it could just supplement anything it can find online to make sure that I'm getting the best experience. From what I've read on other people's blogs, it's not going to be perfect, but this should just set the tone to give it a good start for my adventure. Scene 1. The Broken Bow Inn, a cramped but lively establishment in the riverport city of Droslov's Gate. Smoke from cheap pipes curls toward the rafters, dice clatter in corners, laughter masks whispered deals. At the centre, lit by guttering lanterns, Francesca stands poised. Her harp shimmers under her fingers, voice threading through the noise. Even those who pretend not to watch, cloaked traders, mercenaries, a scar-cheeked guildsman in the back, can't quite ignore her. Seraphine, the innkeeper, watches nervously from behind the bar. Francesca knows Seraphine wouldn't ask her to perform unless something was at stake. Tonight, someone important is in the audience. You feel the pull of three possibilities. 1. Enthrall the crowd. Draw everyone in, make yourself unforgettable and command the room. 2. Subtle persuasion. Aim the performance at a particular listener, perhaps the scar-cheeked guildsman, to plant a suggestion or soften suspicion. 3. Concealed message. Weave coded words into your song for an ally, perhaps Seraphine or someone else hidden in the crowd. Make a performance check, D20 plus 8. Which of the three paths do you attempt? And then, why don't you roll for me? Okay, so we've come up to our first die roll. So D20 basically means, I've got lots of dice. Actually, let's count my dice while we're here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I've got 7 different dice and they all have different amounts of numbers on them. You've got your basic dice that you're used to seeing, which is your, you know, 1 to 6. Okay. And that would be called a D6. One that you use the most, and from what I've seen on my kind of practice rounds with a different character, is your D20. And that obviously is a really fun shaped dice, and that's got numbers 1 to 20. Okay, there are other ones you've got. So you've got a D8, you've got a D4, you've got a 1, 2, 3, 4, a D10. You've got 2 T10s actually, because so one of the D10s has the numbers 2, 9. The other one has 00 up to 90. So the idea is if you were asked to roll a D100, it would roll both of those at the same time, and that would give you your score. So let me do an example. So I've just rolled the D100 there, and it's landed on 60 and 5, so my score would be 65. I hope that makes sense. But for this particular one, we're doing a performance check. It says your roll performance, D20 plus 8, with 3 possible outcomes. So I think my character is going to go for enthrall the crowd, because I don't know who this particular person is that's listening in the crowd. I don't 100% trust Seraphine. I know from my character's backstory, she's someone who I sort of have a relationship with, but there isn't 100% trust there. So I'm going to go for enthrall the crowd. Let me just type that. Enthrall the crowd, and I'm going to roll that D20. So 15, not bad at all. So I push enter on my page and let's see what happens next. Performance check result, 15 add 8 equals 23. That's a high success, easily clearing the DC for a flawless result. DC I think is dice check, so when it refers to DC, that's what it means. Okay. The scene. The inn hushes. Dice stop mid-roll. Tankards hang forgotten. Your harp's notes flow like wine, and your voice coils through the smoky rafters. Even the scar-cheeked guildsman, who has seen more backroom stabbings than ballads, leans forward despite himself. By the time you finish, the crowd bursts into applause, stamping boots and slamming mugs. For a moment, every pair of eyes is yours. Coins rain into the collection bowl, but the real treasure is the silence just before the cheers, that moment where you had their very souls in your hands. But in the quiet after, two things stand out. Seraphine catches your eye from behind the bar and gives a subtle nod toward the backroom door. She wants a word, and likely it's not about payment. The scar-cheeked guildsman is clapping politely, but his eyes never leave you. He looks like someone who measures value in more than coin. You feel the crossroads. 1. Step off stage and meet Seraphine. Whatever she has to say seems urgent. 2. Approach the guildsman. He's noticed you. Maybe you can turn that to advantage. 3. Stay with the crowd. Bask in their attention. Gather gossip. Or let someone come to you. Okay, so we've got another choice point here. The way that I'm feeling with my character and just generally with what I would like to do is not be so restrained by the choices I've been given. So what I did in my kind of practice rounds is I took those choices as kind of guidance and then sometimes came up with my own approach or even kind of fused two together. So I'm going to go with a gesture to... Ooh, helps if I click. Gesture to Seraphine that I will join her shortly. And slowly make my way through the crowd. That way I can get a kind of vibe of the people around me, see if anyone approaches me, maybe acknowledge the eye contact from the scar-cheeked guildsman, see if I can get anything from that way. So let's press submit and see where we go. Well, if there's one thing I've learned already here is that I am an exceptionally slow typer. So apologies for that. Hopefully I'll build up my speed over time. That's probably also why you're going to get quite a lot of these kind of transition music moments where I can pause the recording to actually finish typing so you don't get bored listening to me literally press digits on a keyboard. Anyway, back to business. You let the applause linger as you gather your harp, offering the crowd a graceful bow. Then, with deliberate poise, you descend from the small stage into the throng. People press close, trying to brush your sleeve or offer you wine, but you glide through them like a flame through smoke. Across the room, Seraphine sees your subtle hand signal. She relaxes slightly, knowing you'll join her, but she doesn't wait. She disappears behind the backroom door. The scar-cheeked guildsman doesn't follow you, but his eyes track you. When you meet his gaze and raise one brow, his lips curve, not into a smile, but into acknowledgement, a silent, "I see you, I'll remember." He doesn't approach, yet. As you weave through the crowd, you hear fragments of conversation. Time for a check. Make a perception or insight check, your choice. Perception, wisdom plus one jack of all trades equals plus two. What those mean basically is my base wisdom score that I've got, and then plus one, these are kind of like different character traits. So I might have like plus one for being a tiefling or being a bard. Certain things, yeah, give you kind of pluses to your rolls. So, yeah, basically, whatever you roll is your wisdom check, and then it adds those extra modifiers on, depending on your character and class and race and other things, okay? So, I'll get back onto it, but I've, you know, I'm learning these things as well, so I feel like it's important to share what I'm learning as I go. Perception, wisdom plus two, so catch overheard words, spot movements, notice who's watching whom. Insight, wisdom equals plus three, read intentions, body language, hidden motives. Outcomes, so it does give me three tiered outcomes sometimes, which I find quite nice. So it's saying if I get an 18 plus, I get a crucial piece of intrigue. If I get 10 to 17, I learn something useful, but there's a catch. A 9 or less, you draw the wrong conclusion or your curiosity draws that unwanted intention. So do I roll perception or insight as you make your way through the crowd? I'm quite tempted by the insights, read intentions, body language, hidden motives. I quite like that way of observing people. So I'm going to type in insights and see what pops up. Again, helps if I click. Waiting, processing. Roll insight D20 plus 3 and tell me the results. So, 9. Not great, but with my modifiers should be okay. So, we'll submit the 9. 9 plus 3 equals 12, partial success. As you drift among the crowd, you lean on instinct. Reading posture, glances, the weight of words, a few things catch your eye. At a side table, two cloaked merchants are whispering about a shipment arriving at the South Docks tonight. The words black glove are spoken with care, as if the air itself might carry them to unfriendly ears. The scar-cheeked guildsman notices you noticing. He raises his mug in a casual toast, but there's nothing friendly in it. He knows you're listening where you shouldn't be. Your curiosity pays off, but it costs you discretion. A few people now suspect you're more than just a pretty voice. That's kind of like the opposite of what I wanted for my character, but there you go. That's the way the game goes. From here, Francesca can... Okay, we've got 3 options again. So, 1. Head to Seraphine in the back room now, before the guildsman makes a move. 2. Engage the guildsman directly, lean into the unspoken tension. Or 3. Slip away gracefully, use the crowd as cover, and vanish before suspicion deepens. What does Francesca do? Although my character probably would want to disappear, she also honours her word, and she said that she'd meet up with Seraphine. So she's going to head to the back room now, not draw any more attention, because she's already got far too much notice for someone who relies on her life being unnoticed, except from when she wants to be noticed. You glide through the last knots of drinkers and slip behind the backroom door. The noise of the inn dulls to a muffled hum. The air back here is cooler, tinged with the scent of casks and old wood. Seraphine is waiting, arms folded, her half-elven features pinched with worry. She relaxes a touch when she sees you.
Francesca, I wouldn't have asked you to perform unless I needed the distraction. Something's moving in the city tonight. The Black Glove has a shipment coming through the South Docks. Not coin, not spice. People. Chained. If they land here... Oh, Droslev's Gate becomes their market. She lowers her voice further. I thought I could trust the guard, but they're bought. I need someone who can slip in, learn what's really happening, maybe stop it. I'd never ask you, but... She meets your golden eyes. I owe you, and you owe me. And if anyone can make this right, it's you.
A beat of silence. Then she sets a small pouch on the table, thieves' tools oiled and ready. You sense the gravity of the choice. Options. 1. Accept outright. Take the mission. Seraphine will trust you fully. 2. Probe for details. Press Seraphine for names, routes, and what she really knows, using investigation or persuasion. 3. Decline or delay, risk offending her, but maintain freedom of movement. What's Francesca's move? And I think we're going to leave it there for today. I know we haven't had much gameplay this episode, but because of all the introducing of the character and the formats, there was always going to be less gameplay. But going forward, obviously, that's where the majority of this podcast is going to go. So catch up with me next week as we find out what choice Francesca makes. Thanks for listening.